So, now is it that Prabhupada used one strategy, so we all sort of use the strategy, or like Prabhupada adjusted on time, place, circumstance, we also adjust? And how does, can this adjustment done be done without causing too much polarization? Yeah. It's difficult. It's because when we start practicing a spiritual path, we get so emotionally invested in it. Because we have given up everything else for taking up this path. And then it is natural to become very deeply emotionally invested in it. So then we feel that I have to get this right. If I get this right, I'm going to go to Krishna. If I get it wrong, I'm going to stay on in this miserable material world. So we could say our liberation or our damnation, to use Christian terminology, the deliverance or damnation, that depends on whether I get this right or not. That's why some devotees may err on the side of caution. They say, just don't change anything. And they may feel that those who are changing things, they are deviating. So we can understand where they are coming from. That it's just that they want to make sure that things don't get diluted or rejected unnecessarily, and thereby devotees are endangered, spiritual progress is endangered. But the point is that we all look at Srila Prabhupada through our own conceptions. So, you know, five of us may read one purport and different points will strike out to us, will stand out to us. That's because all of us see the world not as it is, but we see it as we are. So those devotees who are themselves little bit more polemic, they will look at the sections of where Prabhupada has made polemical statements, you know, condemning others. Those devotees who are more conservative, they may look at Prabhupada's conservative statements. Those devotees who are more pacific, not polemic, don't agitate others. They will look at scriptural statements which are more pacific. So, now, a lot of conflict arises when people start saying that this is the way to do it. Now, sometimes that may apply to the conservatives, they say this is the only way to do it. But sometimes liberals can also become too aggressive. So, you know, if you don't do this, nothing is going to work. This is what you have to do. So, you know, in the sense that sometimes liberals are also not that liberal. In the sense that they say that they think that their liberal stance is the only right stance. And so liberals can become illiberal about conservatism. So I feel that rather than making a big philosophical issue about this, just do what it takes. And ultimately it's not that devotees are, any devotee is evil-minded. A devotee is simply concerned that people actually, Prabhupada's purpose is fulfilled, Krishna's purpose is fulfilled, people grow spiritually. So rather than engaging in polemics to try to establish what is the right thing, if we just start doing whatever it takes, so then if the results come, then people will see that. And some people may still criticize, but there will be reasonable devotees who will say, okay, yeah, you know, okay, so many people have become devotees. So you did all these things which say Prabhupada did not do, but just fulfill Prabhupada's purpose. So, but our movement is not at a stage where we can, at least at this stage, we can very openly talk about the need for adjustment and flexibility. People just people recoil at that. So it's, and we, rather than talking about that, we focus on just doing whatever it takes. So we do whatever it takes, and as people become devotees, people see that and then they appreciate. Oh yes, okay, you made this. So it's very difficult to get everyone to agree to something. So ultimately we all have a relationship with Krishna. I recently met one senior devotee who is a very who was known to be very hardline. But now I was very surprised, I mean very encouraged also to see the change. He said that, he was telling me that somebody has served Prabhupada for 30-40 years and now they feel inspired to serve Srila Prabhupada in a way that doesn't make sense to me. Then, you know, I should understand that Prabhupada is bigger than what I can understand. So Prabhupada may inspire someone to serve in a way which I don't understand. So often a big problem comes up because devotees don't talk with each other. They talk about each other. Oh, he did like this. Oh, he did like that. So if it's important, if that particular relationship is important, then just talk and clarify. A lot of things become clear if communication happens. So, of course, sometimes the communication is also not done in a very genuine mood of understanding. Sometimes, you know, we have communication which is basically a tool for ammunition for the next attack. Oh, you think like this? So, if it is like that, then that sort of communication is not really for understanding. It is for reinforcing our own understandings. It is not for understanding the other person. So, that's undesirable. We want to not just be reinforcing our understanding, we want to get understanding of the other person's perspective. But if we do it that way, it is definitely possible that much of the animosity can be decreased. But otherwise, just keep doing our service to Krishna. And Krishna's mission is much bigger than any one individual. Organically, we will have to make room for different places. Bhakti will be practiced in different ways. In India also, if you see, the way Krishna Bhakti is practiced in Maharashtra, where I come from, is different from the way it is practiced in Gujarat, the way it is practiced in North India, the way it is practiced in Bengal. So for example, when the devotees went to Manipur, Manipur is a state in North India which is considered like a Vaishnava state. The king over there became a devotee. So when they went there, the Manipuri Vaishnavas, even the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they continued to wear their own dress. Whereas when ISKCON went there, it told those Manipuri Vaishnavas, they were born and brought up in Vaishnava family, they said, if you don't wear dhoti kurta, you are not a devotee. So, to some extent, we may obsess too much on externals. Externals are not unimportant, but they are not all important. So, organically it is going to happen that at different culture, at different places, different cultures. See, broadly when you talk about culture, there are three things. There is food, there is dress, and there is language. So, Prabhupada was very flexible about language. He used English as his main mean for language. And he has his books translated. So language, we understand, it's a functional society itself. If I come to America and speak in Hindi or Sanskrit, it's no use. So, with respect to food, to some extent Prabhupada taught his Western disciples to also cook Indian food. But Prabhupada was not insistent on that. For his own diet, he ate Indian food. But he was not mandatory. He said, whatever food you can offer it to Krishna and you can take that. So to a large extent, as far as the food is concerned, ISKCON has become, you could say, decentralized or culturally integrated. Most places, devotees cook the food which is natural for them over there and they eat that. So, and that's how it is biologically also the best. For Americans, Indian food may not be good. For Indians, American food may not be good. So, it may just, their bodies may not be suited that way. That is already to happen to some extent. Now, as far as dress is concerned, functionally, in Prabhupada's time, devotees would wear whatever dress was required. They would go for book distribution also, they would go wearing local dress. So, that's not a big deal. But as far as, say, the religious observances are concerned, when we go to temple, and do deity worship, at that time you have particular dress. So, I would say the adjustment is something which will gradually happen. The major issue of contention right now is the gender issue. It's not just a matter of ISKCON. It's a defining difference between the first world and third world is attitude, is the way women are looked at. You know, even if in the first world there is no, it may not be actually true that women and men are treated equally, but in principle, it is understood that they should be treated equally. But in the third world, India, China and other places like that, women are seen more as a part of the family. It's not that they are necessarily subordinated or repressed. They may be very happy in that role also. But that is the role that is expected of them. So, now, in this, there is an Acharya's Vani, his words and his action, and his actions. So, Prabhupada, in his actions, he was very accommodating for women with whatever role they could take. They would lead kirtans, they would give classes, they were managing temples, doing all kinds of services. Now in his writings, Prabhupada is quite conservative. You know, he says that women should always be protected, women should be... we could say at one level there is a clear, almost mismatch between Prabhupada's actions and Prabhupada's words. So, now the question comes up, which is primary? You know, should we see an Acharya's actions in the light of his words, or should we see the Acharya's words in the light of his actions? Or should we see both? So, this is where the difference comes up. So broadly, there are three broad understandings in ISKCON, that the Prabhupada's words are the standard. So this is what he wanted, but his actions reflect some accommodation that he did according to time, place, circumstance. So there are some devotees who feel that we should follow Prabhupada's actions, and he adjusted according to time, place, circumstance, so we should also continue to adjust. We are faithful to Prabhupada, but we practically try to adjust. The second group says that Prabhupada was an Acharya, he could do some adjustments. So we stick only to the adjustment that he did and no more. So for example, the female Diksha Guru. The Prabhupada said that Prabhupada did not appoint female Diksha Guru, so you should not appoint them. The third group is that some devotees say that what Prabhupada did was only because we were all very neophyte. So he gave the standard in his books. And as devotees mature, as ISKCON grows, we should go to the standard that is given in the books. So they say that the women should not have any socially visible roles. Women should be taking care of home responsibilities and things like that. But there's nothing wrong in that. But to mandate that will become a serious problem. So these are in each of these three, we see the third focus on Prabhupada's actions was primary, and we see that his actions will reflect the words. So we understand how to apply his words through his actions. In the second, we try to have balance. In the sense that we say, okay, whatever actions are done, that's fine, we won't do anything more. In the third, we focus only on his word and say the actions are just on time, place, circumstance, we don't have to follow that. So, that's the cause of the conflict. Which is more important, Prabhupada's actions or Prabhupada's words? Now, an Acharya is one who teaches by achar. The very word Acharya means one who teaches by achar. So, I would say, my understanding is Prabhupada's actions are very important. And we don't have to make bhakti more difficult than it needs to be. So, if somebody has been born and brought up in an urban setting, we tell them you have to go and live on a farm. That will be very difficult for them. So, if they are still inspired to do that, that's great. But that's not what they need to do for practicing bhakti. It is a way to practice bhakti. It is not a precondition for practicing bhakti. So same way, just as we understand with respect to urban rural settings, so with respect to gender roles also. You know, if sometimes some women feel inspired that they will just like to stick to traditional gender roles, they will take care of the home, they take care of children, and they are let the husband take care of that. That's wonderful. One sannyasi told me that he has one Western disciple who is like a very traditional Bengali lady. So she was telling me that, you know, when I see her, one of his godbrothers told him that, you know, Krishna made a mistake. She should have been born in Bengal, she was born in America. So if somebody wants to do that, there's no one stopping them from doing that. That's wonderful. But to mandate that, So if say women have been born and brought up in a culture where they always asserted themselves, they always lived almost like boys, then to suddenly tell them to shift their role and tell them you have to be subordinate to men, that may just be too difficult for them. So that is, I think the gender issue is a major point of conflict, but it will organically resolve itself, because over a period of time we'll see that if we don't do adjustments, then we know bhakti is practice only. So some people argue that, you know, Prabhupada said, even if I want one pure follower, if I want one moon, not a thousand stars. But then Prabhupada, is it necessarily a choice between one moon and a thousand stars? Can't we have both? Now we can have, some devotees are very serious and other devotees are at different levels of seriousness. So necessarily accommodation doesn't have to lead to compromise. And just being uncompromising is not just the only way to be faithful, because being faithful to the tradition also includes being faithful to the flexibility of the tradition. The tradition itself has an aspect of flexibility. So if we say faithful to the faithful tradition means only keeping the tradition as it is, but the tradition itself has an aspect of dynamism. No, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaudiya Vaishnavas would mostly be otherworldly. There were Babaji's who would live in the forest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a person who brought Gaudiya Vaishnavism in dialogue with the modern world. So the way the Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called as the seventh Goswami, you know that. So, but the way he lived is very different from the six Goswamis. Six Goswamis, they renounced the world, they were living in the forest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a judge, he was involved with the material world. So we could say that externally there are a lot of differences, but still the purpose was the same, the dedication, the devotion were the same. So I'd say if you just focus on the dedication and devotion, other things will fall in place over a period of time. Okay. Haribol, yeah, sure. Thank you.